This morning's reading comes from Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 20, and it's on page 131 of the Church Bibles. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciples his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Well, let's pray again. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word, which we have just heard. Help us to hear what it is that you are saying to us. May we be convicted. May we hear the warning that is before us. And may we change where we need to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, none of us here need God, do we? So, when you think about it, we can do pretty well on our own. Yeah, we live in the lucky country. We live in the most livable country in the world. Survey just came out a few weeks ago, looking at the most livable cities in the world. And we got 4 out of the top 9 positions. Australia. We only have 5 cities, don't we? We got 4 out of the top 9 positions. So Brisbane didn't make it, but who wants to live there? Queensland, that's where we go for holidays. We have nice homes. And we've running water, and we have it in multiple places in our home. We have toilets. I have 3. And they flush. Every one of them flushes, and I can choose half flush or full flush. We have pantries that are full of food. I have food in my pantry that is out of date. It doesn't matter. I can chuck it out and I can go to the shop and I can get some more. We have cars. I can get into my car and go to the shop to buy more food. You might have more than one car. You might have a caravan, a caravan. You might have a boat. We have jobs. We have work so we can buy all this stuff. We have superannuation. We have a pretty good health system. We have great weather, blue skies, sun, the surf, the beach, it hardly ever rains. That's glorious. Like, why do we need God? We've got it pretty good. We need to hear the warning in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It speaks of the danger of living life without God. And it's talking about God's people. This is the danger for God's people to live life without God. Living life, just going about day-to-day life without an awareness or an appreciation of the presence and the provision of God. And I believe this is a real danger for us. But Deuteronomy 8 speaks to it. So please have it open, and ideally your own Bible that you've been reading and maybe marking during the week. Now, where would you like to start? Verse 1 or straight to the warning? You can choose. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure sermon, but you've all got to do the same thing. So verse 1 or straight to the warning? That's verse 1. So verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Now, does that sound familiar? If you've been here the last few weeks, if you've been reading Deuteronomy, Moses just keeps saying this over and over, doesn't he? This must be important for Moses. Like last week we said, hear, fear, obey. And life will be good. Life will be good in the land if they live by what God says. Right, live in line with God's will and life will be good. Align your life with the will of God and life will be good. The next thing that Moses says is remember. Verse 2 starts, remember. And verse 11 says, do not forget. Then verses 14, 18 and 19 all talk about remember or do not forget. The big, big theme throughout this chapter. And here's the point that I want to make and what Deuteronomy 8 makes. In good times and bad times, God is to be trusted. The big picture of Deuteronomy is all about walking in the ways of the Lord. Living with God in the land. Alright, so God's about to give him the land. Deuteronomy is all about living with God in the land, living his way, walking his way. And it's about love and loyalty. They are called to love God with all their heart, mind, soul and strength. And it's about loyalty. They are to be 100% loyal to him. Right? This is God. So God demands, if you like, because he is God, exclusive allegiance to him, worshipping him and him alone. Right? That's what Deuteronomy is all about. And so when they're in the land, whether it's good times or bad times, God is to be trusted. We We are to live as his people every day with an awareness and appreciation of his presence and his provision. All right, so let's have a look, because we see this verse in verses 2 to 10. And here it speaks of the hard times in the wilderness. So verses 2 to 5. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. All right, God was with them during all this time in the wilderness, this hard time. God was with them, and God provided. Of course he's going to provide. This is God. They are his people. God is not going to not provide for them. Right? God is a God of grace. They were tested, yes. And the question was, would they trust God or would they grumble? Now, whilst we, some say, live in the most livable country in the world, it's not all good times. And some of you know that more than others. From your experience, you know it's not all good times. Things go wrong. Not everything goes as you planned. It could be health related. Often is. Could be financial, it could be work, maybe marriage, maybe some other relationship, something to do with your family. It could be a combination of these things. And we know life is not all good. For many Christians around the world, it's persecution. We think of the Christians in Iraq at the moment being forced out, fleeing from their homes. Or those in South Sudan at the moment, where there is fighting and famine. Trials of life will come our way. We will be tested. Will we trust God or will we grumble? Now we need to remember, we need to know. God is to be trusted in the bad times and the good times. We are to live every day as his people with an awareness and appreciation of his presence and his provision. Verses 6 to 10, they then look forward to the good times to come. And life can be like that, can't it? Seasons of good and bad. Notice what Moses says in verse 6. Where does he start again? Verse 6. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. All right, when things are good, praise God. When things are good, don't forget to praise God, to thank him. Which we can be prone to do. We can forget. We can fail to do that. What Moses is saying here prepares us for the warning that is to come. Because when things are good, the danger is that then we can become proud. We can think, I'm doing pretty well for myself. Things are pretty good. Got a pretty good job. I'm able to provide for my family. Look at this house. It's pretty good. We can think that we don't need God because we've got it pretty good. And we don't say that. We don't even literally think it. It just happens. Because when things are going well, the danger is that we just don't think of God at all. And when that happens, we are in serious danger. It means that we're forgetting that everything and all the blessings come from God. In our prayers before, when Daniel started, he started and he thanked God for all the blessings. Right? That's important. But when we forget and when we just take it for granted, that's a real danger. Right, I can make dinner in my kitchen with the food that I have in my cupboard and my fridge. I can sit down and I can eat that dinner. And it's possible I cannot say a word of thanks. I can forget where this food has come from or the means by which God has given me to be able to buy or make this food. That's just wrong, isn't it? Just to take it all for granted and not say a word of thanks. But I can do that. Israel, that they are about to go into the land, this good land. God is about to give it to them. All right? It's going to be good. And how easy for Israel to soon forget, to have it so good, they can then think, oh, we don't need God. We've got it good. They are in danger. They're being warned here. They need to live life every day with that awareness and appreciation of the presence and provision of God. Well, hear the warning of becoming proud in verses 11 to 18. And note again where Moses starts. Verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build your fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Now we need to hear this warning too, don't we? Aren't we in real danger of having it so good that we become proud, self-reliant? Our prosperity can lead to pride. That is a danger. Are we thankful for our home, for our car, for our work, for all the blessings that God has given us? Or do we just take it all for granted? It's so easy to do, isn't it? Just take it for granted. Because everyone in Sydney has these things. Well, not everyone does have these things in Sydney. We can think it's ours. We've earned it. We've deserved it. We've worked hard. It is mine. We can think this, but it all comes from God. When things are going good, maybe we look to ourselves and not God. And that is a danger. It's why whether it's bad times or good times, we've got to trust God. We are to live every day with that awareness and appreciation of God and His presence and provision. And that, it needs to be a growing awareness and appreciation. The longer we live, the more that we have. We need to know it all comes from God. We need to keep walking in His ways. We need to keep learning what it is to love Him with everything that we have. And maybe the more that we have, the harder it is for us to love God with everything that we have. And to be loyal, to worship Him with everything that we have. Maybe it just gets harder for us, the more we have, to worship God with everything that we have. Now, Israel didn't do too well, did they? They got the warning. They got the land. And you know the story. They don't go very well. How are we going? How will we go? Are we any different? Will we be any different? I want to encourage us this morning to be a people who trust God. In the bad times, in the good times, that we trust God, that we know His presence and His provision. Now we're a little bit different to Israel. We have Jesus. Jesus has done it. Jesus has trusted God in bad times and good times. Jesus was fully aware of God's presence and provision. Now, if we are trusting in Jesus, if you are trusting in Jesus, then you are in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He is with us always to the very end of the age. We are not on our own. We're not on our own. So we are not to live life as if we are on our own. We must not do that. We desperately need God. Each and every one of us. Because if we do not, if we live life without God, look at the warning and the consequences. Verses 19 and 20. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Obedience matters to God. Walking in His ways matters to God. For His people whom He has saved to walk in His ways, that matters to God. This is serious stuff, isn't it? God is not to be treated lightly. Obedience matters. They are told, live life without God, and it will not go well. What will it lead to? Destruction. Everyone needs Jesus. We as his people, we desperately need Jesus. We need to keep living every day with him, trusting him, being thankful to him, praising him, walking in all his ways. So this is a big warning. Where do I see the warning signs for us? For some, I see it in not gathering together with God's people. Now, they don't stop being Christian. They don't deny being Christian. But in their Christian life, they just drift along. And they might drift away. And we don't see them. Our meeting with God's people just is not important. Which says what? It says that other things are more important. It says other things are more important than coming together once a week, gathering with God and with his people. It means that other things start to take the place of God and meeting with his people, which is idolatry. Now, I'm probably not talking to you because you are here. But I could be, because a growing number of us are only at church 1 out of 2 weeks or 1 out of 4 or whatever it is. And for whatever reason. But if that's you, then maybe you've just got to ask, why? Why is that the case? What's going on? And you might need to hear the warning and do something about it. For me, where do I see the danger signs for me? There are many. One is when I don't pray. When I just go about life, when I just get up and start the day and I don't pray, what am I doing? What am I saying? I'm going in my own strength. I'm not acknowledging God. I'm not acknowledging that this is a new day that he has given. And I'm not praising him. I'm not thanking him. And I might be doing his work, but if I'm not praying, then I'm just doing it in my own strength. And that's not good. I'm not denying being a Christian, but in a sense, I'm living life without God because I'm just going along and I'm not talking to him or praising him or confessing to him. And when I do that, that's a problem. I might prepare a sermon and not pray first. That's just wrong. But I can do it. What I've done now, I've stuck a little prayer reminder. It's got a printed prayer on my wall in front of my desk. So as I come to prepare, I'm reminded to pray. Now, I shouldn't need reminding, but I can just go straight into God's word and start reading and thinking about it. And I'm not asking him to help me. I'm going in my own strength. Now, what is it for you? What would you say? What are the warning signs for you? Where are you tempted? What are the danger signs where you might just go about life without a thought for God? Where are you in danger of living life without God? Is it more likely to be in the bad times or the good times? I want to give you a minute to think about it and for you to pray about it. And maybe confess and repent. And I wonder if you're going to identify something, a warning sign for you, Is there someone you can share that with today? Spouse, close friend, share it with them that they know. And then maybe together you can work on it. So Aaron, he's going to come up. He might just play quietly in the background so it's not all awkward silence. Take a moment, a couple of minutes, just to think about it and to pray yourself. Talk to God about maybe something that has struck you this morning.